Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go off script here for just a minute because when we were singing that song, I was given a word for someone. I don't know if this person is in here right now, if they're going to watch this live or if they're going to watch it later, but here's the word God just gave me. Life is hard. Life is hard. Somebody in here right now is overwhelmed or listening is overwhelmed. And God gave me this vision that they're stuck out in this water and the waves are crashing down over your head right now. If that is you, this is what God is saying. He said, I will trust you, Lord, my rock. Imagine if you're out in the middle of the ocean and the waves are crashing upon you and all of a sudden this big rock appears. This is what God's telling you right now. He said, if that is you, if you are so overwhelmed and the waves of this world are crashing over you, grab a hold of me right now and hold on. That this overwhelming, this is going to end. That I will carry you through, but don't try to swim back to shore on your own. Just grab hold of me right now and hold on for all you have. If that is you, that word is given to you right now, grab a hold of God and hold on to him. I'm just going to pray for whoever this is. You don't have to come up. You don't have to raise your hand. Just know that this prayer is for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this life is so hard. The enemy attacks us so much. He wants to drag us down. He wants us to drag us under. Lord, I pray for anybody right now who feels they are all alone in the middle of that ocean. The waves of life are crashing over them. God, let them know they can grab upon you the rock of salvation, and you will carry them through. They do not have to fight this on their own power, but they can hold on to you, and you will not change, and you will carry them through. And dry land is coming again for them. I say that again, remind them, dry land is coming again for them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good morning. I just want to say welcome. If you are a guest here, my name is Pastor Josh. I am the senior pastor at River of Hope. If you are a first-time guest, we are so honored that you have chosen to come here and worship with us and learn about God. And to everybody in here, we've been praying for each and every one of you that God would do miraculous things in your life. And it all starts here this morning. Just a couple of quick announcements. We do have a backyard barbecue coming up August 26th. So if you're going to join us and would like to bring some food, you can sign up for that. On the back side is our bi-weekly Connect group. So what this is, if you happen to miss last week, Travis, we put a challenge out last week that we need to connect with each other. So what this is, if you would like to join up, if you are a couple, you are one person. Just put that out there. Everybody who signs up, we're going to divide the names up equally. Then when you come in next week, you will be given an envelope. It'll have your group information in it. Then you have 2 weeks to get to coordinate with the members of your group, find a day, an evening, a morning, I don't care what it is, this is up to you, where you guys can all get together and just spend time together. Then in 2 weeks, we'll shuffle them up again, you'll get another new group. And so each week we'll have time to meet with new people, learn more about each other as we can grow together in Christ. So I'm going to pass both of these out. The first is the backyard barbecue, if you want to sign up, and then just put your name if you want to do the bi-weekly Connect group. I highly suggest everybody signs up for this one so we can connect and sharpen each other. You get to start. Let's see, what else do we have going on? Men of Hope, we are going to be having our next event August 31st. It is Breaking Bread and Slinging Lead. So I am looking forward to that. Guys, Grills, and Guns. So if you need more information, you can see me after service. You do not have to be a member of this church or attend this church to go to this event. So guys, if you know someone who likes to shoot guns and eat food, invite them with. This is a great non-church event to bring people in. 4 o'clock, we'll be meeting here. Hope 101 classes are Wednesday night. If you can't make it, if you're signed up, you can't make it Wednesday night, you can come Sunday morning, 9 a.m. as we get through that, as we try to make. Youth group, our amazing leaders have stepped down. Mrs. Lacey and I have taken over. We're going to keep it at Tuesday nights for now. Come September, we will be switching it to Wednesday nights. September 5th, we're switching it to Wednesday nights. Thank you. So if you have any questions about youth group, you can come see. Actually, go talk to Mrs. Lacey. Ladies Connect stuff is coming up. Talk to Ember for information. And if you have photos, images, videos, or anything happening at River of Hope, and you don't mind, if you're in it and don't mind us using you, we are updating the website. We're putting a more personal touch to it. So if you have those, if you want to email them to me. The last thing is, last week I talked about that we were going to have our first foreign exchange student arriving from the Ukraine, from Ukraine. So she got here, and then right before she got here, we got a message, oh, you have to send her to an extra camp for 4 days. So we literally picked her up along with two other students at the airport and then dropped them off at a hotel. So she will be back with us on Tuesday. So if you come to youth group Tuesday night, she will most likely be here but she'll be here Sunday for sure. So I believe that's all the announcements. We're going to get back in. We're going to worship God some more with our amazing worship team. Aren't they great? We're going to continue worshiping God because he is so worthy of it, isn't he? Isn't he amazing? Isn't he worthy of all this? We're going to worship him with our tithes and our offerings this morning. Nick, can you come help us with that, please? We're going to pray over our offerings. Lord, as we come back to you and give back to you what is yours out of love and out of joyful heart, I pray that you would bless this, that you would double it, that you allow the ministry of this church to continue to go forth, that we can serve you. Give us wisdom to use it faithfully and wisely, and just bring glory to your name. Let us take back the city of Medford for you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're continuing our series we are in is called Games We Play. I love board games. And it's kind of weird as technology is advancing and now there's this game. I hope I get it right. I believe it's called Fortnite. Okay. So these games are becoming more and more popular. But you know what's right? Board games are still popular. We were just up in Minocqua this past weekend, and there's a store there called Ingenuity. If you're ever in Minocqua, I highly recommend going in there. They have all this crazy cool stuff. And what they have is some of the most, I believe the term is eclectic, a group of board games you'll ever see. Settlers of Catan, they have like every version of Settlers of Catan. So if you've never played that, that's a great game. But one game I loved playing as a kid was Chutes and Ladders. Now, when you play the game, the object is get to the very top and win. Now you can do that. You spin the little thing, you move your person, and if you want to move up quicker, you go up the ladder. Well, every time you go up the ladder, you have to serve someone at the bottom, and when you get to the, that's how you get to the top is by serving. On the other hand, if you hit a chute or a slide, which I actually enjoyed because I thought it was a lot more fun, you're doing something wrong. So when you're doing something wrong, you slide down the ladder. Now, the cool part about this game was it was supposed to teach kids to serve and be good and not break the rules. It had a dual purpose. I don't think that ever sunk in my life. If you ask my mom, she would agree. But, so this was a great game, but how can this apply to us? Well, our vision for this church, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, is we grow, we connect, we serve. So grow, we want to grow in Christ. We want to grow in each other. We want to make disciples. We want you to connect. We talked with us. We want you to connect with God, connect with fellow believers, and then serve. We want to serve God. I want everyone in here to find something they're passionate about, where they're gifted, and what the church needs, and where that intersects, that's where you should be serving. But we also need to be serving others. Because when that happens, guess what's going to happen? People are going to be like, hey, you know that church, that River of Hope church? They're not like all these other churches. Their people are actually out doing things. They actually care about us. Let's go check that church out. People come in here. They learn the truth about Christ. They come to God. They grow. They connect. They serve. And then you see it becomes a circle. And eventually we get so big that we move out. And we plant another church. And that church gets big, and that church plants another church. And that church plants another church, and that church plants another church. And next thing you know, we've taken back Wisconsin. And then Minnesota. And then the nation. We turn a nation back to God. So, serving is very important, and we need to serve. If you are a Christian, Christian simply means Christ follower. So, the reason that the people are called Lutherans is because they followed Martin Luther, even though he said, don't call yourselves that, but that's for not here or there. So who are you following? We are following Christ, right? So we are Christians. We're small Christ. So if you are a Christian, you need to be serving. So here's the questions we're going to answer. The first one is, why do we serve? You need to understand why we serve. Once you understand why we serve, you'll understand why you should serve, and you'll be more willing to serve. Who do we serve? There's a very good big question. Who do you serve? Do you serve your friends? Do you serve your family? Do you serve your enemies? God? The church? Who? How can I serve? We're going to answer that. What are the results of my actions? We always ask this question. Because when you leave here, I want you to know one thing. You can choose to follow the example and follow what we set down, and this is what will happen. Or you can choose to keep walking in your own way, but I don't want you to leave saying, well, no one warned me what was going to happen. I say it each and every time. We pray for the Holy Spirit to fall. We pray for conviction. We pray for comfort. Because if you just sit here and you listen and you walk out and you don't change anything, then this is all in vain. There's no point of coming here if you're not going to change. And will I serve and follow the example of Christ? So our main text is from John 13, 1 through 7. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to them. John 13, 1 through 7. You're probably all familiar with this. This is Jesus washing his disciples' feet. John 13, 1 through 7. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I want to go back to that. Jesus knew that the hour had come. So who is he with? I want you to picture this in your mind. He's with all his disciples, and he knew the time was coming when he would be turned over to be beaten and to be mocked and to be crucified, a horrible, painful death. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. All things were under his power. It's very important you recognize what he's about to do. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter. Man, I love Simon Peter. Simon Peter is the kid in class who the teacher explains something, and you don't understand it, but you're too chicken to ask what that meant. Simon Peter is the one who raises his hand and goes, yeah, what did that mean? That's why I love Simon, because he asks all the questions that you're thinking so you can get the explanation. And he does it again. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? I think that'd be obvious, right? He's washing everybody else's feet. And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash, you have no part with me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and head as well. Jesus answers, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. The whole body is clean. You are clean, though not every one of you. for he knew who was going to betray him. And that's why he said not everyone was clean. So think about this real fast. Think you had the 12 of your closest friends with you, right? And among them, you knew that one person in there was going to betray you and let you get killed. Right? Would you be willing to wash their feet? Would you be willing to serve someone knowing in a matter of hours he's going to go get 30 pieces of silver to turn you over so you can be beaten, mocked, crucified, and killed a horrible death? Jesus knew that. In fact, it says that he had the power to stop it all. And yet he continued on. He finished washing their feet. He put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord, teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I've done for you. Verily, truly, I tell you. Listen to this. No servant is greater than their master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And you think about that. Gage, I was trying to greet people in the parking lot. I got a little bit busy, and Gage looked down and said, "You wear sandals a lot." I said, "Yeah, I love wearing sandals." I said, "You know, you only have a few months in Wisconsin to wear sandals, so I try to take advantage of it." Well, one year I made the mistake. I wore sandals to the county fair, the one in Marshfield. And I don't know what it is, but I love going and looking at all the animals. Like, for me, that is the greatest thing. I love watching those kids. Like, they work so hard with those animals. And some of the adults cheat a little, but we won't get into that. I learned a lot of tricks if you want to make your animal look better. If you're going to do 4-H, come talk to me. I learned tricks. So I wasn't really paying attention. A lot of it's gravel. So I was walking through barns. You know, I mean, probably wasn't the best time to be wearing sandals. And when I got home, I took off my sandals, and my feet were disgusting. I was like, that's really gross. And I proceeded to wash my feet. And this scripture came to mind. I was like, can you imagine what their feet look like? Now, remember where they are. They're in the Middle East. What are they walking on all day long? Sand? There's probably animal feces. I mean, because this is not modern roads we're talking about. They got around, either they walked or they rode animals. And animals, they don't care where they go. Just... So could you imagine how disgusting their feet were? And as I'm washing my feet, I'm like, what is like the most lowly thing someone could do? The most lowly thing I can think of is you go to someone and say, hey, wash my feet. Can you think how humbled you have to be to wash someone's feet? Think about it when back in the day, that you don't see them as much anymore, but they would have these shoe shines. And usually it was poor kids, and they'd be like, hey, kid, you know, shine my shoes. Can you imagine how low you have to be? How, you know? But God, this is Jesus, this is God, knowing full well what's about to come. Knowing everything he can do. Knowing one day he's going to come back and be the king of this world. And yet he is saying, I'm going to be humble and I'm going to wash your feet. So why do we serve? I want to make this very clear. We don't serve to be saved. We serve because we are saved. If you are sitting there thinking right now, I need to serve others because I can work my way to heaven, I'm sorry to say you are wrong. The only way you get to heaven is through the bloodshed of Christ, accepting that, accepting your forgiveness of your sins. That is how you get to heaven. But Jesus said, you are not greater than me. Your message is not greater than I who sent it. I'm lowly.
If Jesus was willing to serve others and wash their feet, what should I be doing? I am a Christian. I am a Christ follower, right? So I should be humbling myself in serving others. When I go somewhere, I should be saying, what can I do to help? Not, how can you serve me? And we get that backwards so much. We serve people to love on them. Said it before, I'll keep saying it. They're not going to care what you know until they know that you care. When people understand that you don't care, that you care about them on a personal level, then they're going to want to hear you tell them about Jesus. Because they're going to be like, that person cares about me, so maybe I should actually listen to what they're about to say. I'm going to use my brother-in-law as an example. When Josh tells me something, I try to listen to him because he has proven, yes, I do, he has proven time in and time out that he cares about me. And when he's telling me something, he's trying to improve me so I don't screw up and hurt myself. Yeah, chainsaw's a great example. We serve because we are Christians and we are following the example Christ has set. He was always here serving. I did not come to be served, but to serve. So why are we thinking people should serve us? We should be helping others. You want to be great? Do you want to be great? When you get to heaven, do you want lots of treasure stored up for you? Then serve. You serve others. You set the example Christ has done. That's how you become great. All great leaders are actually servants. Pastors, we're called to be servants. The governors, presidents, have you ever actually read what they say? All the elected officials are called, they're supposed to be servants of the people, right? That's what their job description says. They are not here to be served, they are here to serve us. Whether or not that happens, that's a completely another story. But as Christians, we are called to serve. So who do we serve? Who do you think we should serve? Just our friends? Just our families? How about just people that treat you right? Right? You treat me good, I'll serve you. Yep. Matthew 5:46. We should serve everyone. Friends and enemies alike. Remember who the 12 that were gathered there? Jesus' closest friends, the ones he called disciples. Among them was Judas. Did Jesus wash everybody else's feet, come to Judas and say, nope? Matthew 5:46 says this, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? For even the tax collectors do that. How many of you have love for tax collectors? Man, I sure don't. And back then, they were the most hated people. And God's saying, Jesus was telling us, he's like, if you only love people who love you back, man, even the lowly tax collectors do that. If you pay them what's due, man, they love you, right? No, he's saying you need to be serving everybody. Friends, everybody. Even Jesus washed Judas' feet knowing he was going to betray him. I tell you what, there is nothing better than serving an enemy and watching their face go, what? What? Why are you doing this? So this is who we need to serve. We need to serve God, right? Ultimately, he is our ultimate authority. He's the one we need to serve. Then the church, our community, fellow believers, and of course, the lost. Is our whole point of being here is to reach the lost for Christ, right? So how can I serve? I firmly believe that each and every one of you in here right now were given a spiritual gifting. Here's the best way to serve. If you're going to serve your church, here's how you do it. And my notes are out of order. Good thing I looked for that. So how can I serve God? Thank you. I'm glad I thought of that. How can I serve God? The first one is follow His will for your life. Remember, we redefine success. Success is living and working in the will of God. How do you know God's will for your life? You walk in the Spirit. You don't have to run. You can walk. You walk in the Spirit. You read your Bible. We have printouts for the next week of daily scripture readings if you want to grab them as we read through our Bible in 1 year. And I promise you, if you grow closer to God, as you connect with God, you'll understand when He's talking to you. Remember last week we put up the sign of the goat skateboarding? How can you know what God's trying to tell you if you're not listening, if you don't know what His voice sounds like? So follow His will for your life. Remember, serving God does not mean you have to be called into full-time ministry. People tell me that all the time. I talk about serving God. They're like, well, I'm not called to be a pastor. Never said you had to be. You can serve God and not be in ministry. You can serve God by being salt and light to the earth. Remember, we were all called to do that. You can serve God through your personal testimony. Here's a great way. Share your personal testimony. And some of you are going to be like, well, I don't have a great testimony. You know, some people are like, well, you know, I spent most of my adult life in prison. I found Jesus in prison. He got me clear of meth and heroin and all these things. Yeah, that's a great testimony. That's powerful. I was hooked into the occult. That's powerful. But guess what? It's your testimony could be this. I grew up in a Christian household. I came to know Christ at 11. That's still powerful. Because guess what? You went from being an enemy of God, an enemy of God deserving hell, to being a child of God. That is a powerful testimony. And I guarantee you, if you look back at your life, you'll find many instances where God reached down and personally touched your life. Why don't you tell people about that? Hey, you want to hear about my God and what He has done for me? And what He can do for you? How can I serve? How can I serve? Ah, the church. All right. Awesome. So how can I serve the church? This is where I was going back to that. Find where your interest. What are you interested in? Are you interested in children's ministry? Are you interested in running a youth group? Hint, hint, hint. Find where your interest, where your needs and your spirit, the needs of the church, your interest, needs of the church, and your spiritual giftings intersect. And that's where you serve. When it comes to serving, it is round peg, round hole. Let's say you decide, boy, I really think I could be greeter. And you try it out, you're like, oh, this is just not working. It is completely fine to back away. Alexa and Danny, God called them to step out into youth group. And they did. And then God said, okay, your time is done. So what did they do? They stepped back. Because they were listening to the will of God. Everyone in here has talents. Everyone in here is a 10 at something. Okay? For me, I am a 10 at public speaking. But I'm like a 0 when it comes to doing anything really manly, i.e. car maintenance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you don't believe me, just ask my brother-in-laws. They'll tell you all about it. So maybe you are really talented in car maintenance. You could use that. You could start a life group here that's all about showing people how to work on cars so they can change their own oil or learn how to change. Maybe you could teach people how to change tires so when they blow out a tire, they don't have to call their brother-in-law. I'm not saying that actually happens. I'm not saying I call my brother-in-law for everything, but no, because usually Lacey calls. You have talents. If there's not a ministry here that reflects your talents, come talk to me and we'll create one. Use your spiritual giftings. If you don't know what your spiritual giftings are, I will give you a spiritual gifts assessment test. Because everyone in here has been gifted with something. Some people in here have been gifted with the ability to discern spirits. That means that they can tell when they meet someone, the Holy Spirit says to them, okay, this person's on the level, this person's good. Hey, watch out for this person. We've had them come up to us and be like, hey, this person who's just in here, something's off. We need to watch them closely. I've learned the hard way. When people who are gifted in that tell you something, you need to listen and not just say, oh, you're being paranoid. Find out what your spiritual gift is and then use them. Maybe you're like John, and your spiritual gift is that you can talk to anyone about anything. Use it. John uses it. John talks to everybody about everything all the time. How can you serve the church? Tithe faithfully. Keeps the ministry running. Every single month, we look at the budget. We make sure that we're spending your money within the budget guidelines. But this church only runs if you give back to us, to God. That's all the more I'm going to say on that one. I've talked enough about tithing. I don't want to be known as the pastor who's always preaching about money. How can I serve? How can I serve the community? So there's plenty of ways of joining the community. The first ones I want to think of, join a club. I really wish John was here because I was really gonna hint at him. So there's clubs in town. There's Rotary, there's Kiwanis, and there's Lions. I tell you, if you are a business owner, you really need to join Rotary. Because Rotary, while serving the community, yes, their whole motto, I love their motto, is service above self. The whole reason I joined up in the Rotary was so I could serve the Medford community. But it's a lot of business owners, and there's a lot of networking going on within that. So you can serve the community and promote your business at the same time. I wound up getting a job. I'm going to be working at the elementary school here in Medford the whole year round as a CLC site supervisor. And I was given that opportunity to serve because of Rotary, because of the connections I made there. So, do you have areas of interest? Volunteer in them. Do you like sports? Do you like soccer? I tell you right now, Medford Youth Soccer, we need coaches every single summer. And you may be saying, well, I don't know anything about soccer. That's fine, we'll still take you. So volunteer in areas of interest, coaching, sports, Cub Scouts, etc. Once again, you like archery? Hey, we'll start an archery program for kids here at the church. I'm not joking. That's what you want to do? We'll help you out. We want to be serving. You want to serve? Next Sunday, we're going to serve the city of Medford. We're going to go clean it up. I mean, literally, clean it up. After service next Sunday, we're going to grab trash bags, and we're just going to go out through the town, and we're going to pick up litter. And when anybody asks you why you're doing that, this is what I want you to tell them. It's because we're from River of Hope. We love this city because God told us we need to love everyone. And we love this city. We want it to be great, so we're cleaning up, and we're following the example that Christ set for us. How can I serve? How can I serve fellow believers? The biggest thing you can do is pray for each other. If you are not in the River Hope prayer group, let me know so we can get you in there. Right now, we have a member of our church who can't be here because she had to have a pacemaker put in. And we are lifting her up for prayer. Pray for each other. Hold each other accountable. Man, if you know your brother or sister is falling into sin, go to them one-on-one in love. I had to be reminded of that at the wedding on Saturday, didn't I? to someone was there who had harmed me, and I wanted to go correct them. And I had to really hold myself back because I had to make sure I went in love and out of anger. Hold each other accountable. Pour into and build each other up. That's why we're trying to do these connect groups. It's so you can meet together with other believers. So, man, as we grow bigger, man, God is telling us growth is coming, right? But as we grow bigger, we're going to have to grow smaller at the same time. What do you mean by that? We're going to have different life groups and different small groups. Because as we get so many people, it's going to be hard for you to remember. It's going to be hard for me to remember everybody's name. I can't do that now. But as you have these smaller groups, these people who know what you're going through, that if you need someone, you can reach out to them, that they understand what you're going through, the accountability partners, this is what we're talking about. How can I help fellow believers? Help out when needed and if you're able. The great thing is I now have a truck. If you ever need a truck for something, call me up. You can use my truck if you don't have one. I'm not good at a lot of stuff, but chances are I can find someone who can help you. if it's construction or anything, don't call me because, man, I'm just gonna waste your time, ask a whole lot of stupid questions. It's only gonna be done half good, I promise you. But I'll try. Finally, how can I serve the lost? Biggest thing is you need to love on them. I was at a wedding yesterday and a lady was there and she was quite intoxicated. It's a Wisconsin wedding after all. I mean, seriously, who isn't? And someone said, well, this is a pastor. And she goes, oh, no, don't you judge me. I'm like, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to love on you. And she looked at me and she started crying. Said, you are the first pastor who ever looked at me and said, I want to love on you. There's a lady there who we know who works at a job here in town, and she's like, yeah, I know so-and-so from your church. And she is the best person I've ever met. Because I feel I can go to her with anything, and she won't judge me. She just loves on me. That's powerful. Man, that love... for the lost, that's going to break down walls quicker than anything you can say. I guarantee it. Help them out, man. If you see someone in town who posts something like buy, sell, trade, man, hey, I need help moving from here to here. If you can do it, go help out. I just want to share, I was at this wedding. And we pull up and there's a some members of our church were there, and this one member is buzzing all around on his side-by-side because he's trying to help out, and so I jump in to help out too, and he's like, I don't know how I got roped into all this. First, I said I'd cook them a pig, and then next thing I know, I'm like here getting all this stuff set up, and I just looked at him, I said, because you have a servant's heart. I have never heard this person. You call him up, I tell you, if he can do it, he'll do it for you. And he will do it with love because he wants to love on people because he has developed a servant's heart. Another member of our church was there and they were getting the cake and stuff ready, and she just sprung into action. Like, nobody had to ask her to do anything. She just saw things that needed to be done and instantly started serving. Because one of her gifting is organization. And I'm telling you, if you give this girl something to organize, she's happy. So she just like sprung into action. She took over. So everybody there saw these people working and loving on them. And people even asked, where do these people go to church? I was very proud to say, yeah, they go to our church. And we were able to show the difference, what a true Christian looks like. Christians who want to serve and just love on you for no other reason. They didn't expect anything in return for that. They just wanted to love on them and serve them. If you can do nothing else, invite your lost friends to church. And let me know they're here so I can preach the gospel that day. But most important thing you can do to love on the lost, listen to this, if you truly love your lost friends, share the gospel with them. If you knew that Billy Bob Joe Martin here was going to walk out today and die, would you try to stop him? If you knew if he was going to cross the street and you knew 100% beyond the shadow of a doubt that if he crossed that street, he would get hit by a car and die, and if you stopped him from crossing that street, he would live, would you stop him? Well, I can tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt, if someone dies in their sins, they will have no choice but to spend eternity in hell. Just recently, a guy from my hometown died. It was his 1-year anniversary. And as I was looking at that, the first thought that came to my mind was, he has spent 1 year in eternity. I have no idea where he is. I'm not God. That is just 1 year forever. You know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the people you interact with on a daily basis, if they are lost, if they die in their sins, will go to hell. If you truly love them, you will share the gospel with them in love. I use this example, I'm going to use it again. Penn and Teller, this magician duo, a businessman got backstage tickets to see them. Penn, a devout atheist, and will tell you repeatedly he does not believe in God. When a Christian businessman got backstage, the first thing he did was he shared the gospel with them. Penn did not react. He did not come to know Christ. Pray for him. But this is what he said. He said, I have great admiration for this man because he believes that I am lost and doomed to hell. And if you truly love someone and you believe they're going to spend eternity being tormented, why are you not telling them that? Share the gospel. So what are the results of my actions? If we're serving God, we are following Christ's example. Are you greater than your master? Then you should be serving. We are modeling Christ for the lost. When people see you are doing things for no other reason than that you love them, guess what they're going to see in you? They're going to see God. I ran into a friend just recently, and as I was looking at his face, I said, man, all I see is God coming out of you. I said, it's like so bright. I'm like, that is so amazing. Serving brings us closer to God, and as we grow closer to God, we're going to grow. Anytime you grow closer to God, you're going to grow. Growing pains might come with it, but man, I'd rather have growing pains than be stagnant. People will care about what we know because they know we care. Said it before, said it again, I'm going to keep coming back to it. And finally, we talked about the foundation, we're still building. If we are serving God, we are building with materials that will last. But if we're not serving, we'll not be following Christ's example. By not serving, do you know what you're saying? You heard the expression, your actions speak louder than your words, right? By not serving, here's what you're telling God, I'm greater than you. Right? Think about it. He said, the servant is not greater than the master. Serve as I have served. You're like, I'm not going to serve. So you are putting yourself higher than God. You will not be modeling Christ for the lost. If you're not serving or you're only doing it to see what benefit can benefit you, people are going to see that in you. Would you seriously want to come to a church or listen to someone who only looks out for themselves at all times? I would much rather listen to the person who, when I call them, they're there to help me, and they tell me every time, I'm doing this because I love you, because I was told to love you. Well, I want to hear what you have to say. If you're not serving, you're not growing closer to God, growth will stop. Christians are like a fish. All right? Did you know goldfish will keep growing their entire life? As long as you keep moving them to a bigger tank, they'll keep growing. You keep them in a small tank, they'll stay small. As Christians, we're the same way. We never stop growing. As long as we're growing closer to God, we're going to be growing in Him. People will not care what we know. Nobody's going to want to come here for a bunch of self-serving people. It's just how it is. We'll be building with material that will be consumed by the refiner's fire. And while you will be saved, your structure will fall, and how great the fall will be. Comes down to this. We were called to be greater. We were called to greater things. We're called to be greater people. We're called to grow, to connect, and to serve. I tell you, once you develop a servant's heart, once you get done serving, you're going to be like, I want to go do that again and again and again and again. And even though you may grumble about it to some of your closer friends, because the person who was serving that at that wedding was grumbling to me, I'm like, you can grumble all you want, but you know you love it. He's like, yeah. The more you serve, you're going to love it. Because you realize you're following the example Christ has set forth. You're not greater than Christ. He's calling you to serve. So, here's the question only you can answer. Are you willing to serve and follow the example that was set forth by you from Christ? Or are you okay ignoring it, putting yourself higher than the God who created you? Are you willing to serve even your enemies? Are you willing to humble yourself to serve? Here's how you know if you're humble. Someone asks you, hey, are you willing to do this? And you're like, well, that's above my station. Or that's below my station, right? Because we think we're up here, right? You know, I can do things here or higher. Well, let's say you get someone says, hey, we really need someone to come clean toilets today. Are you willing to do that? I think that's about the equivalent of going and washing someone's feet in today's day and age. Are you willing to serve as Christ served you? We're going to close here in just a minute. Next week, we're going to look at the board game Operation. We're going to look at removing sin from our lives as we work on progressive sanctification, becoming closer and closer to God. I hope to see as many of you as can next week as right after church. Bring extra clothes. We'll provide trash bags for you. We're going to go clean up the city of Medford. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word you've given us today. I thank you you've given us the example of serving others. For you first served us. Let us continue and serve others and love on others. Lord, I pray for the soul harvest that is to come as the awakening of Medford happens and continues. God, I pray you would bless each and every one of us this week. Keep us together. Help us get through. Give us safe journeys forward and back. I pray that the enemy will be rebuked this week and that people will be able to stand firm in their faith. We pray for any sick among us, especially our sister who had the pacemaker put in, Lord. We thank you that she is doing so well, but we continue to lift her up in prayer that you would speed her recovery, Lord. Keep us all safe and together until we can come back next week and learn about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming. I hope to see you all again next week as we look at Operation.
It sounds like this is what it looks like. This is what it feels like when the church is alive. This is what it sounds like.